At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the studios on this Friday night with you. By the way, Braves are up 3-0 already. So 404-726-0929, that is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of this show. Well, as we're trying to figure out what the future governance of NIL is going to be, name, image, and likeness, we turn to somebody who knows probably about as much about this as anybody in the country. Christy Dosh is joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. She's sports business reporter for Forbes, founder of the Business of College and Sports Jobs, Sports and Jobs in NIL. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page at SportsBizMiss. Christy, as always, thanks for a few minutes here in Atlanta with us tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I don't live up there anymore, but I'm born and bred in Atlanta and always happy to come on up there.
Absolutely. Christy, I'm rubbing my eyes because this whole idea of the federal government getting involved. Look, the federal government does two things really well. They print money and fight wars. That's the only thing that the federal government does well. I don't want them anywhere near this name, image, and likeness. And I'm not saying that they're doesn't need to be regulations, but what are your thoughts about the idea of the federal government getting involved and starting to put standards in play for this?
Yeah, I've always thought it was kind of a long shot that they were going to do anything about it. I mean, there have been, I think, more than a dozen federal bills related to NIL that have been introduced over the last couple of years, and none of them have even made it out of committee. And a big part of that is because the congressional leaders can't agree about what should be in there, and even talk about extending it beyond NIL to cover other parts of college sports as well. So I know the NCAA is hopeful that that will solve its problems in terms of differing state laws. And I sort of understand the angst with that, but I don't think a federal law is coming at all, but certainly not anytime soon. I'm not optimistic that it's going to happen.
Well, I guess what's the downside of letting the states, I mean, again, this is how, I hate to say it this way, but I mean, this is how government's supposed to work. The states should be able to decide what the future of these things is and what the rules and regulations are. And look, I understand competitive balance and all that, but again, there's no competitive balance in the world of collegiate athletics. I mean, it's already lopsided to the premier program. So what's wrong with having the states govern how all of this gets handled?
Yeah, I think the danger now, where the tipping point was for me was last week when Texas passed its new bill that its governor signed, which essentially says the NCAA can't enforce its own rules. So I expect that other states will be passing that soon as well. There have already been discussions in other states. So now you're just essentially saying the NCAA can no longer govern its member institutions. So college sports just isn't going to have rules anymore. Everybody can just do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. You know, there's nothing that operates like that. Professional sports operate under rules now, albeit that's with professional athletes as employees, collectively bargaining with the league. And I think that's probably where we're headed. There's a big case going to the National Labor Relations Board in November, and the early indications are that that board will likely decide that student athletes are employees, and I think college sports will look very, very different a couple of years from now.
We'll get back to that point here in just a second, but I do want to say that what I mean. Look, the talk has always been that football may get away from the NCAA to govern itself. I mean, Steve Spurrier has always said it's a 1950s rule book governing in the 21st century. And there are a lot of antiquated things about the way the NCAA governs over football. I'm not saying that there's not a use for them, especially in other sports. But, you know, look, they had a chance to get their arms around this, and they kicked the can down the road for decades on this. They knew that this was going to come at some point, and now for Charlie Baker to come out and say, well, you know, we got to get federal law. Well, wait a second. You guys kicked the can down the road. You didn't want to embrace this idea of athletes making money off this, and now you're trying to scramble to try to put something back. And that's why I think, I wonder if, A, the NCAA is a dying breed, which I think that they are as far as governing football. But it's a lot of gall for Charlie Baker to come out and say, well, you know, now we got to pass federal laws, when they had all the chances in the world to wrap their arms around and get some things in place for this.
Yeah, 100%. I agree that they put themselves in this situation. And, you know, I think even sometimes I kind of forget, like, the NCAA doesn't just, you know, pass its own rules. The people in Indianapolis are not making these rules up or declining to change these rules. It's the university presidents who govern. They are the ones who vote on legislation, new legislation, changing legislation. So it's the schools themselves making the decisions on these rules, not some sort of, you know, dictator in Indianapolis that's doing it. However, I do think there's a huge disconnect between what university presidents want and what university athletic directors want. And I think that we've finally gotten to a point where having presidents make these decisions about athletics, particularly with regards to football, maybe doesn't make sense anymore. I've myself met a number of presidents who knew very little about the college sports that they governed.
Christy Dosh, sports business reporter, joining me here on the waitforit.com hotline. And I'll always remember our conversation that when all of this kind of first started, you were one of the people, and I always remember the idea that you talked about social media influence and different things like this. And we have seen an explosion of, and I hate to say it this way, but I mean, folks that are on Instagram, big Twitter presence, you know, these kind of big social media platforms and stuff like that, that, you know, it wasn't just going to be the football players that made all the money. We're seeing people in all, you know, swimming, softball, different things like that, that there are so many athletes that are cashing in right now, and especially a lot of it off their social media presence. I always give you credit for that, because you're one of the first people that brought that up to me.
Oh, thank you. You know, I really think that is what has sort of equalized things for female versus male athletes. I mean, you're always going to have football players and some men's basketball players who are getting paid, I don't want to say above market rate, because market rate is whatever someone's willing to pay, but they're getting paid, you know, far beyond what they would get in sort of the normal influencer realm for the number of followers that they have. But when you get outside of football, men's basketball, I mean, I have seen some women just absolutely killing it, multiple six figures into the millions when you talk about athletes like the Cavender twins, but, mm-hmm. you know, names you wouldn't even recognize. Emily Cole, who's a track and field athlete at Duke, she is multiple six figures. She's been killing it. You know, Leah Clapper, who just graduated from University of Florida, who's a gymnast, same thing, absolutely killed it at NIL. And Leah just graduated, and her entire career plan has changed because of NIL. And that's the stuff about NIL that I love.
So I guess what's the next steps? I mean, I the thing I always said about name, image, and likeness was, in the old system, if you will, look, athletes were capitalizing off of their success. It may not be at the level that it is now with NIL, But, you know, again, the bags of money. And I mean, look, John Hot Rod Williams in Tulane had a Nike shoebox full of cash underneath his bed. So you had all of the boosters and things like that that were doing the backdoor deals and such. Now with NIL, at least things have come out to the light and we can kind of see where money comes from in all of this. So what's the next kind of step as far as NIL? But what do you think the next kind of breakthrough thing is for name, image, and likeness?
Yeah, you know, I think right now it's those changing state laws with regards to the NCAA's ability to even govern NIL. You really don't have very many rules around NIL right now. When they passed NIL, it basically just said, if you have a state law, follow it. If you don't have a state law, follow your school's policy. And, oh, you can have accountants and attorneys and advisors. That was really it. And then always in the rule book, there'd been the rule against pay for play and inducement. But I think we all know inducement is happening. Lots of high school kids, lots of transfers are signing NIL deals, or at least agreeing verbally to NIL deals before they make their decisions. That's not how it's supposed to work, but we all know that it's working like that. And now it looks like states are going to move to take away the NCAA's right to do anything about that. But frankly, they haven't been doing anything about it anyway.
Yeah, and you know, the other part of this is, and you brought this up about earlier, about the idea of athletes becoming state employees. Now, I talked to somebody that was from the state of North Carolina that was, I think it was like the director of labor for the state of North Carolina years ago, and this was probably like 7 or 8 years ago, and she brought this exact idea up about, you know, we would get to a point where if you're an athlete, you become an employee of the state. Is that something that you think will happen? Do you think that that is something that is also in the future works, that these athletes become state employees when all is said and done?
Yeah, right now there's a case that's making its way to the National Labor Relations Board. It involves football and men's and women's basketball athletes, just those three sports. However, the test for employment doesn't look at whether a sport generates revenue or not. So even though football and men's and women's basketball are generally revenue sports, as we call them, it would, you know, need to extend to include all other student athletes, because they, if those three sports meet the definition of employment, so do all the rest of them. And what's really interesting is I've been teaching NIL at University of Florida for the last year and a half. I teach in two different departments, and I've had a handful of student athletes in my class every single semester. And the last unit of the semester, I have them read articles arguing both sides, arguing that yes, they're employees and here's why, and here's what it'll look like when they become employees, or no, they're not, here's why not. And I try to really present both sides equally. And then I ask them in their final discussion board, do you think student athletes are employees? Why or why not? And every single athlete I've had in my class every semester says no, not athletes, not employees, and don't want to be. You know, they're very concerned about how there might be some disadvantages to being an employee, like being able to be fired, being penalized for being late. You know, there are a number of things that will look different if they're employees, and not all student athletes are on board with that.
So, I mean, we've had this brought up before, the idea of unionization. So is that something that athletes, that if they're not employees, they argue that they, you know, can, you know, become a union and fight for rights that, you know, again, they, you know, that you know, kind of an equal set of rights across the board? Do you think unionization is something that could happen first before any idea of being a state employee?
It actually gets really complicated. There are ways to create essentially trade associations without them being employees. I don't want to give people a whole law class on this, but the more likely avenue is going to be that they're deemed to be employees and can unionize that way. However, about half of the states do not allow employees of the government, which would include public universities within the state, to unionize. So in about half of the state, student athletes at public universities would have no ability to unionize. And then the rules look different for private versus public schools anyway. So you're looking at this kind of patchwork like we have with NIL already. And so it's not like they'll just decide student athletes are employees and suddenly they'll all be able to organize and unionize and collectively bargain. It's far more complicated than that.
So I am curious, because I know how knowledgeable you are in all this, and you've been ahead of the curve on this issue. What is the message that you try to get across to your students? Like, what is kind of the theme of the idea of the message that you're trying to brand for them?
I'm really trying to focus on all the things I love about NIL, which is not only their ability to monetize right now and do one-off kind of deals, but really thinking about the deals that you accept or that you go after. How can you put together things that help you with your future career? Like, I've seen student athletes who, in addition to compensation, have asked for a micro internship with the company, or they've asked for a meeting with the CEO. You know, they're trying to network and put themselves in a position to be able to find a great job after graduation. They're forming their own companies and becoming entrepreneurs. You know, some of the top ones are taking equity in companies. They're getting board seats. You know, that sort of long-term thinking is what I love about NIL. So we start with the basics about, you know, what is your personal brand? What are the ways you can monetize your NIL? But then I really try to teach them a little more about how they can take this beyond graduation. And it's not just something you do while you're a student athlete. And many of them have really taken that to heart, and it's been fun to watch.
Sports business reporter, founder of the Business of College and College Sports and Jobs in NIL, Christy Dosh, joined us here on the waitfor.com hotline. Check out her Twitter page at sportsbizmiss. Christy, as always, really appreciate the time and the info. Keep doing great work. And listen, we always appreciate having you on. So thanks so much for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And go Braves.
You got it. When we come back, top of the hour, Falcons flyover as Braves are up 3-0 right now. How's that whole 10 ERA thing working out for that pitcher for the Rockies? So anyway, Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. Get 60% off your new system. Go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.